Spinning wheels are moving us forward, so by creating a circuit of relaxation that acts like a spinning wheel, you can move yourself towards a calmer, more contented place. Whether you need to move away from an old version of yourself or make progress towards something new, spinning the wheel lets you weave together the separate fabrics of life so you can create something truly fabulous, because no one wants to wear stress.
Thank you for taking some time for yourself. And before you begin this wonderful experience, if you can close your eyes and become aware of your chest expanding, relaxing as you begin to create a circuit of relaxation. Perfect. And I wonder if you can roll out your arms resting, legs resting. Deep breath in. Hold it. And let it go. Perfect. Now, I don't know if you can notice the cycle of your breath, the warm air on your top lip as you exhale, your shoulders enlarging, reducing, your body lengthening out and diminishing as you go deeper into this cycle of experience. Aware of your eyes resting, your chest expanding, and relaxing as you go deeper into comfort. And what some people love about hypnosis is their thoughts are clearer. More detached. And somehow the earth's spinning. The moon spinning, all the planet moon systems are spinning. The sun's turning. The billions of stars in the galaxy orbiting. But for whatever reason, our universe doesn't appear to have a spin. And here you are, at rest. Now, I don't know if you're tranquil, peaceful, serene, or something else. But what I do know is you're perfect just as you are. And I really don't know if you're aware just how special you are. You are in perfect Fibonacci sequence, where each number is the sum of the previous two. 1, 2, 3, 5, 8, 13, 21, 34. The three joints in your fingers, in perfect proportion. Your hands to elbow to shoulder. Feet, knee to hips. You are as perfect as a sunflower when its seeds spiral clockwise and anti-clockwise in perfect Fibonacci sequence. And here you are at the wheel of life. The wheel of fortune. Where it's almost like the spin of any wheel has the main objective to give the spinner the opportunity to develop their own intuition. Their own internal powers. And maybe wheels are meant to be spun to move you along. Advance you from where you are now to some loftier place. Where you can ride a wheel for a lifetime. And you've slowed down your breathing, heart rate, blood pressure. Without me asking that of you, that's how special you are. And in the past, you've been feeling stressed, anxious, or have experienced the overspinning and thinking of thoughts, or something else. But what I do know is, anyone in your situation would completely understand. But it's got nothing to do with you. And in a moment, I'm going to share with you a few stories. And at first, you might be thinking, why am I sharing with you these stories? But your subconscious mind will be listening and do something wonderful for you. A little later on. And before I share with you these stories, why don't you take yourself on a mental vacation? Some place you like to relax, where it's calm and peaceful. Perfect. And Dennis Waitley describes he was an arrogant pilot in the Navy. His daughter was 9 months old. She didn't like squash. She only liked Oreos and applesauce. And after a tough day at the office chasing cows and farmers on their tractors, he would wear his flight suit to mow the lawn. And he would pack himself up with tools in case anyone would take him hostage. He would imagine going for a swim, cutting kelp, maybe wrestling a great white shark, and then swimming a triathlon back to shore. And he walked in that day to think life flows down in a pecking order, to discover a 9-month-year-old tyrant in a high chair, getting applesauce as a reward for doing nothing. He saw the vegetable squash everywhere, but none in his child's mouth. It was a mess that looked like World War II. And he thought she would eat it. She will do what we say. He gave her simulation training. He ate 11 spoonfuls of squash. And the next spoon was for her, because she loved Daddy. And if he loves it, she will love it. And if she eats it, she could become a pilot too. And if she swallows 5 spoons of squash, she will get applesauce as a reward. And as soon as she tried not to eat it, he squeezed her cheeks and put a spoonful in her mouth. But she wouldn't swallow it. He checked. She was still breathing. She still didn't swallow. He thought, soon she's going to have to breathe. She's going to have to swallow the squash. And just when he thought she would swallow, she chose to make a squash transfer. She spat it out. And that's when he learnt something about control. And maybe you've heard me tell the story before, about Richard Bandler, who was working with a woman who had compulsive behaviour. She was a clean freak. She was a person who even dusted light bulbs. Her family could function pretty well, apart from her attempts to care for the carpet. She spent a lot of time trying to get people to not walk on it, because they left footprints. Not mud or dirt, just dents in the rug. And when this woman looked down at the carpet and saw a footprint in it, her response was a gut negative kinesthetic reaction. She would rush off to the vacuum cleaner to vacuum 3 to 7 times per day. She would spend a lot of time trying to get people to enter the back door of the home. And if they didn't, she would nag them to take off their shoes to walk lightly on the carpet. Now, I don't know if you've ever seen anyone try and walk lightly on their feet. The only person Bandler has ever seen do it is in one of those kung fu movies where they roll out the rice paper and they walk down it without leaving footprints. And when you can do that, you can marry this woman and live in her home. And this family was a normal family. No juvenile delinquents or drug addicts. All 3 children loved her. When they went to dinner, no problem. Vacation, no problem. But at home, she was a nag, because she nagged them about the carpet. And what Bandler did with this woman was he said, "Close your eyes. Imagine there's not a single footprint in the carpet. It's clean and fluffy. Not a mark anywhere." The woman was smiling. She was in 7th heaven and realized fully that means you're totally alone and that the people who care for you and love you are now nowhere around. And the woman's expression shifted. She felt terrible. And Bandler said, "Now put a few footprints in the carpet and look at those footprints and know that the people you care for most about in the world and nearby." And then she felt good again. And as Tony Robbins would say, what if problems were always gifts? What if every single problem was a gift in your life? What if every problem you ever had was happening for you and not life happening to you? What if everything in our life was guided? What if everything in our life was divine time? Everything, even the pain. And when you are in the darkest place and you feel all is lost, when you think there's no way to turn it around, remember victory is near. But you and I both know, sometimes life is a little more complicated than that. 'Cause how do you determine what's useful analysis and useless rumination? Because as you probably already know, sometimes life can feel unfair, or people should know better, or it just wasn't your fault. And I can only imagine someone like you, with your high standards, has certain things you like to do in certain ways. You might have special places you like things to be kept. In fact, I'm confident you're organized. And I don't know if you've ever seen athletes anchor themselves into a state of success, like the Canadian professional ice hockey player, Patrick Roy, who would skate backwards towards the net before every match because it made the goal shrink and seem smaller. Or the gridiron coach Les Mills, who would eat the grass before every match to let him know he was part of the field. And he once said the Tigers Stadium tasted the best. Or the football player, Cristiano Ronaldo, who would comb his hair different before the start of every match and change it again at halftime. And when clients are struggling with motivation, Richard Bandler likes to say, but haven't we all been motivated to use the bathroom on a long road trip? That's still motivation. But the next time you find yourself stressed, you have an opportunity to build on your tiny habits of success. And I don't know if you already walk in the front door from work and put your keys in a special spot to utilize that anchor. Maybe add taking in a few relaxing breaths. Or as soon as you put on your pajamas and check that everything's in place, that you might add to that bedtime anchor a fabulous habit of thinking of one great thing or something else. But what I do know is, you already have fabulous rituals, don't you? And it reminds me of one of Milton Erickson's clients who was too nervous to go for a drive for fear she would wet herself. Her dad couldn't take her in his new car. She refused to be driven anywhere. The dad finally said, "I'll give you $50 if you can wet yourself in my car." And when she realized she couldn't, her tiny habit was broken. And I don't know if you'll seek out a therapist or ask a doctor that the next time you put on your shoes for work, to create a paradox solution where you might attempt to elicit a panic attack before you go to work, to get it over and done with, and to prove to yourself you have the skills to calm yourself down. Or if you always gain weight after going on a diet, that you might start your next diet by gaining 1 or 2 kilos first to break the tiny habit. But what I do know is, the wise man Aristotle once said, we are what we repeatedly do. Excellence then is not an act, but a habit. Now I don't know if you were to imagine going about your daily rituals, if you were to change anything, or decide to add a few nice feelings, a few kinder thoughts to yourself, because you can be a little kinder to yourself, can't you? Now I don't know if you need to let go of the old you, or add and build on and upwards, or step up to the newer version of yourself. But what I do know is, you'll know what to do. And I wonder how you want to measure up your day, calibrate when life is north or south. So if you were to spin the fabric of your life, when the fibers are drawn out and twisted and spun, so you can wear the clothes that matter. Because a wise woman once said, style is a way to say who you are, without having to speak. And isn't it wonderful to know, 10 years into the future, looking back, how well you spun your wheel of life. And when you're ready to reorient yourself back to your external world, you can stretch out, wriggle your fingers and toes, and open your eyes. Welcome back. You're perfect. Just as you are.